You can be seated. Thank you. The last song, the verse, I am who he, how'd that go? I am who, because he's, yeah, I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. Church, he's speaking to each and every one of us. So what does he tell you you are? This is going to be Holy Spirit because this is not near what I'm preaching today. But you are, church. Get a hold of this. Get a hold of this. You are loved. That's what the I am tells you you are. You are healed. The I am tells you that you are healed. My brother Dean would say, start acting like it. You are saved and on your way to heaven because of your stand with Jesus Christ. Get a hold of that. That's what the I am tells me who I am. Loved, healed. You have joy and peace because he's promised it to you. Get a hold of that. These are the things that he's telling us that we have. Hold on to it. Hold on to it like it's your last breath. Hold on to it because the devil will lie to us each and every day. Every day. David, spoke to his soul. Your soul, man, your mind, your will, your emotions. You're not pretty enough. Nobody loves you. Do you really think just by not saying that prayer that you can be saved? Well, it's the uncompromised word of God, absolutely. And the word of God is to be taken literally word for word. Amen, Ms. Vic? Amen. Absolutely. But see, that's what the devil does. This is his playground. So David spoke back. Now, don't let people see this because there's a fourth floor that they could take you to. But why so downcast? In other words, why are you so downtrodden? Why are you so heavy, soul? I'm telling you to put your trust in God. Put our trust in God. Why? Because he that promised is faithful. That sticks with me, Vic. Thank you so much. He that promised is faithful. If you're going through something, and I'm telling you it's hard, I'm not saying that it's easy, always know that he didn't drop you by the wayside. He said he would go through the fire with you. He would go through. And know that if he promised it, he's faithful to watch over his word, to perform it, to do it. Amen. He is faithful to do so. I'm so glad. I am so glad. And then there's just something about, and I thank you. I hope you enjoyed the old school worship. There's something about that old school getting back to the cross, to the blood, the things that would put you to your knees at the altar. I mean, I'm tearing up now thinking about it because it's just, maybe because I'm older, I don't know, but there's a lot of life in that old school, in that old hymnals that we tend to forget. The King is coming. He is risen. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. Thank you. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary because those are facts. Those are facts. He's our coming King. He is our King and he is coming back. There's just something about going back to that old hymnal, old gospel, old time religion that hasn't changed. It's not cold. It's not old. It doesn't get old. Give me that old time religion. We used to have a lady in Church of Living Christ many, many, many years ago. She's gone now. Mrs. Henry, I told you this story before. I led my mother to the Lord, Mrs. Henry. But her name was Jane Leffler. What a sweet, sweet person. And we'd ask you how she was doing. And she meant every word. She'd put her hand and say, hallelujah. I've never been sick. I have never been ill. And when I had gone through anything, God has gotten me through. Hallelujah. See, that behavior will teach. That behavior will. There's a little joke going on here. That behavior will teach. And yeah, are we going to mess up? Absolutely. But see, Sometimes we need people to be our zipper. That's another joke. But yeah, because what we say is powerful, amen? So if you are taking notes today, and it couldn't be more appropriate than the music and then the update on Pastor, the message is pray. Pray. And if Dean were here, Teddy, Elder Dean, he likes to say that prayer is not an option. Amen. Now, teachers, I'm going to make sure, because it's easy for me to make a fool of myself sometimes, but I believe I'm using an acronym. Is that correct when you use the letters to P? Is that accurate, an acronym? I'm surprised I had to say it, let alone know what it is. But we will be using an acronym today. Now, let me preface with this, that I totally understand. Trust me when I tell you that this message, I speak to me. And I totally understand if things come up, there's work, there's school, your kids, grandchildren, and life in general. How many know that life has a tendency to get in the way? Amen? Ashley, you're battling some things as well. And I know they weigh on you. I know they do. Life has a tendency to get in the way. And prayer is not an option. Now, I could not vision any of us that are sitting in this sanctuary right now during the week. I could not vision any of us not praying during the week. Amen? Every day we have something to pray for. Every day there's a battle to go through. Now, I guess the reason Dean is so adamant about prayer not being an option, and again, I prefaced about I know things come up, because I miss prayer a couple of times. Things come up. I understand that. But why is it so easy not to come out on Wednesday night prayer? It's only one Wednesday a month. We used to do Wednesday services every single Wednesday, but we prayed during the every single day. There's something about being in unity and one accord and praying together. Where two or more are gathered, church, He is certainly there with us. There's just something about that, and there's power in prayer. Power. Prayer will and continually does change things. Amen. I know that it does change things. I've seen it in our life on Tabitha. Things change. Prayer changes things, does it not? The good Dr. Mario and I were talking a few weeks ago, and it dawned on me when one time that, and you had brought this in prayer, Mario, that someone tells us, you know, what they're going through, and everybody is going through something, and what we say is the very least I can do is pray. See, that's wrong. We go back to words, Vic. It's not the least that I can do, it's the very thing. The very thing that I can do to help you, my brother. The very thing that I can do to change that situation in your life, my sister, is pray for you. Not the least, because see, if we put that on the back burner, listen, we were taught a long time ago, if somebody asks you to pray, pray now, because we will forget. We will pray now. And there's people, some of them, and I've done it at work, and some may not expect that, but you grab their hands and let me pray for you right now because I don't want to forget. It's too important to you. Be surprised how many people do not turn that prayer down. Even if they draw back, I'm going to pray together. Pray now, because prayer will change things. Amen? It's the very thing, listen, praying is the very thing. It is vital. Prayer is vital in the Christian's life. Morning, pray without ceasing. That's what's wonderful about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The devil hates it because he can't understand it. Let's face it, we only know in part what to pray for. We pray for our kids, our family, our needs. God already knows what our needs are. He already knows. They're already being taken care of. Amen. Already knows. But we still present them to him. And he is a gracious, gracious God. And he listens and he does. He does take care of those prayers. Sometimes not in our time, but he knows. He knows when things are best for us. Amen. Thank God for the unanswered prayers, church. Because I know sometimes when I had prayers answered, I mean, there had been years I've been praying for something. And I always, when I used to teach, Dean and I used to teach the kids in the back, we only know in part. God, we only see this, but God sees the whole picture. And then when the years go by, all of a sudden the light bulb goes off and say, now I see why you never answered that prayer. Then we say, thank you. Thank you. There were situations that I used to get mad with. Excuse me. When my son, when he was in football, would go to parties, you know. So a lot of those kids had gotten in trouble, like all kids do today. And at that point, TJ was very influential, influenced easily. So I could only imagine what would have happened. You know, so I thank God for unanswered prayers. Amen? So, if you're taking notes, naturally the first letter is P in prayer. So, why do we pray, church? So, I did borrow this from Focus on the Family. And God's Word calls us to pray. One key reason to pray is because God, who? One key reason to pray is because God has asked us kindly to do so. No, the word he uses here is commanded. One key reason to pray is God commands us to pray. Again, it's, Brother Dean, it's not an option. He commands us to pray. If we are to be obedient to his will, then prayer must be a part of our life in him. It must be. Must be. Now, where does the Bible call us to pray? There are several passages that are relevant. If you'll turn to Romans 12:12, the New International Version reads this way. And I'm not going to keep you extremely long today, church. We're going to get through and let the Holy Spirit minister to you the rest of the day. Amen. Romans 12:12, NIV. Be joyful in hope. Remember earlier I said, get out of your funk. If you're in a funk, you're not joyful, are you? So it looks like being joyful in our hope is pretty doggone important to the body of Christ. Because if you stay in that funk, you're not being helpful to anybody. Who wants to be around you? Amen? So I ain't going near that person. They're always bummed out. I got my own problems. I don't want to hear this. Every time I talk to this person, they tell me this happened, that happened, that happened. You're not being very joyful. Now, it doesn't mean you're not going through anything, but it says to be joyful in hope. To be joyful in hope. It didn't say that he put that affliction on you. It says to be joyful in hope. Next part, patient in, I'm putting the word your, but patient in, it just says patient in affliction. But patient in your affliction. Church, when you're going through something, you got an affliction. And it wears you down. That's what the church, the body of Christ is for. This is why we pray. During pre-service prayer, I prayed that when one rejoices, there's no jealousies in Aliquippa Christian Assembly, none. We love one another. We're family. We rejoice with one another. When something good, we don't say, why couldn't that happen to me? No, Doc, I'm so happy for you. I want to rejoice with you. When accepted, huh? Absolutely. And when something happens bad, we pray with you. Again, commands us to pray. You're going through something. So that's the time that you don't need, I told you so. That's the time when we need to hold one another's hands and say, I love you, bro. I love you, sis. I love you with all my heart. And I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to pray and help lift you up. Because when we pray, it does something about that heaviness that is laid on our shoulders. Amen? It kind of like sweeps it off those shoulders, knowing that we're rejoicing in hope, being joyful in hope. And again, I don't like that word patient, but it's there. And then third part of that is says, faithful in prayer. So be faithful in prayer. So what does that mean? Well, you could actually easily go, don't doubt. Don't doubt because you're going to waver to and fro and you dig up that seed. I'm healed, but I feel like I don't feel well. You plant that seed and then we do have a tendency to dig it up. There's that zipper again. I told you I'm preaching to myself, church. You had to be here pre-service, before pre-service prayer. Just had to be here. What else does that could mean? Be faithful in prayer. It means to pray every day. Be faithful. God's already heard this. He wants to hear it again. It doesn't mean he's not able to do so. But see, that's the other thing. When we pray, we are communing with our Heavenly Father. Communing with him. And I got to tell you that when I prayed last night at home, this is a miracle preaching today. Because I did not want to let my pastor or my elder Dean down. Because last night, I didn't have a voice at all. It's God. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. He does. So, we are to be joyful in hope, patient, even in the very trial that we are going through, and faithful in prayer because our God, again, who promised, is faithful. Aren't you glad, church? Say, I'm glad he's faithful. Oh my gosh. He can't lie. It's impossible to lie. I'm going to give you a different version of that, Romans 12:12. I happen to love the Voice Bible. And it just brings things a little differently, like the Message and the Amplified Classic does. And the Voice reads this way in Romans 12:12. Do not forget, again, if anybody wants you to pray, pray now, because we will forget. Do not forget to rejoice. But I'm going through something. Do not forget to rejoice. For hope is always just around the corner. It didn't say sometimes. Don't forget to rejoice because your hope is just around the corner, church. It's coming. It's coming. Hope is around the corner. I know we go through a lot. I know it, but it's around the corner. That's what we got to look forward to. Hold up through the hard times. It didn't say melt like a stick of butter in a microwave. It said hold up. When all else fails, stand, period. Next verse says stand. There's nothing between stand and stand. We as a body of Christ must stand for each other. It says to hold up through the hard times that are coming. Oh, so I guess that they are coming. He never promised since we are born again. I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. Anybody remember that song? See, I'm showing my age now. He didn't say we weren't going to go through hard times. But he did say that I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never, surely not, relax my hold on you. What a promise we have. He never lets go. So hold on through the hard times that are coming and devote yourselves to prayer. Because prayer changes things. Another thing that prayer probably does is humble ourselves. Because none of us want to go to the Heavenly Father in prayer, at least I don't. And here I am again, Father, excuse me. I did that again, but I have concerns on my heart that I want to bring to your attention, but I have to humble myself before you and ask you to forgive me for this stupidity. Am I the only one? But see, God is so gracious and so merciful. He already knew what was going to happen before you even did it. That's our God. But yet he stands there with open arms saying, come on, come here, let me put my arms around you and hug you and love on you because you need it. I know I do as well. Devote ourselves in prayer. Philippians 4:6. I believe we used this last week. It wasn't up today, was it, Teddy? It was last week. NIV, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, absolutely, the good times and the bad times, no matter what situation we are going through, in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Threefold process. Thank you. By prayer and a petition with thanksgiving. So while we're praying and petitioning God for our family members, our loved ones, ourselves, our situation, we also have to be thankful. That doesn't mean, thank you, Lord, that I have this on me. No, that means, thank you, Lord, that you have an ear to my prayer. And I thank you, Lord, that you are taking care of this situation. It's too big for me, Father, so I'm going to give it to you. Miss Debbie, Wednesday night prayer, another reason why it's so important to be in prayer, had a word, and she was obedient. And I needed it. I did need it Wednesday night. And I'm not going to get it accurate, Deb, so when you see this, forgive me. But the gist of it was that whenever we're going through that trial and tribulation, get through. She said, do not stay there. Get through it. Get through it. Why, church? Because our hope was around the corner. So if we stay in that tribulation and trial, if we stay there, we're not going to get out of that funk. But get through it, church, because knowing that he will be there constantly with us. Amen. He will always be with us. I've never had him, nor do I ever expect him to ever let me down. Ever. He's never let me down yet, and he's not about to start now. And every one of you can say that. You've never let me down. Say that. You've never let me down. And you're not about to start now. He's not going to, church. He's not going to. So when we worry about things, we become anxious. Amen. Anxiety is not good for anybody. I'm sure it creates ulcers, Doc. I'm sure, I don't know all the ramifications of anxiety, but I'm sure there's more than one. Restlessness, sleepness, which can't help, and your mind's always turning. But when we pray about everything, it does bring a calming effect. James 5, 13 through 16. Excuse me. This is a scripture that our elder Dean had sent last week. This is in the voice now. Are any in your community suffering? Are any of you in your home suffering? They should pray. Are any celebrating? They should sing praise to God. So when we're suffering, it doesn't say stay, Miss Deb. It says to go through. They should pray because it does bring a calming effect to us. And if we're celebrating, they should sing praise to God. 14, are any sick, they should call on the elders of the church and ask them to, once again, pray. So it seems to me like praying is vital. They will gather around and anoint, as we do here. They will anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15. Prayers offered in faith. That means no doubt, church. Prayers offered in faith will restore them from their sickness and bring them to health. What a blessing. What a comfort to know. The Lord will lift them up from the floor of despair. Has anybody been there? And you start praying. Listen, if you're already on that floor of despair, you might as well get on your hands and knees and start praying because you're already there. All right? So get on your hands and knees, because the way to get the way to rise is to go down. We need to be on our hands and knees praying. The way to rise is to humble ourselves and get on our knees before our Heavenly Father. We go to the throne room, church, and when we present our requests to our Heavenly Father, see, I picture this. Jesus goes into the throne room with a basket. I know, I'm weird. But he goes to the Father and say, Father, these are the prayers of my children that you, sir, have given me. And he presents them to our Heavenly Father. Is that awesome? I see that happening. I see that happening. Why? Because God is faithful. And what he has promised, he is faithful to do. And if the sickness is due to sin, then God will forgive their sins. It didn't say God will think about it. He said God will. God will forgive their sins. So own up. Here's another thing that we need to learn to do. Own up. Own up. Own up to your own sins, to one another. I don't mean you just unfold everything on somebody. But just pray for me. I'm going through some things that I shouldn't be doing. And then we pray. Not everybody has to know what you're. But we will pray with you. Own up to your own sins to one another and pray for one another. In the end, you may be healed. Your prayers are powerful, and when they are rooted in a righteous life. Now see, it's kind of like a wheel and a clock. I remember the old wristwatch, not even the clocks. They have different wheels. One turns this way, the other one turns that way, the other one turns this way. And then the time goes. If one of those wheels are broken, that clock's not going to work, is it? See, it says here, to your prayers are powerful, and they are rooted in a righteous life. So when we humble ourselves, pray for one another, all of a sudden, you're going to want to live that righteous life. I didn't say you're not going to make mistakes, but you're going to want to live a righteous life. And all those wheels that God intended to turn are turning in our lives. And the clock is working. Amen? Hallelujah. The R in prayer would be receive. As children, we should receive from Him, amen? Just like our earthly fathers and mothers want to give us things, we don't run from those gifts. We do and are glad to take them. So we need to receive from Him. Now, this is I borrowed a couple of scriptures from people, but they were, when I read them, they bared repeating. It's by Kenneth E. Hagin. We receive from the Lord in the same way that people in the Bible receive from the Lord, whether it is salvation, healing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or some other gift of God has provided, we receive by faith. That's how we receive from God. This fact is emphasized in James, if you want to write it down, James 1, 5 through 7, which tells us what to do if we are lacking something in our life. We all know the scripture. The Apostle James said that we are to ask God, but instructs us to ask in faith in order to receive. In order to receive. So we ask by faith. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Don't think that you're going to receive anything from God. Amen? Don't think you're going to receive it. But I don't see it yet. Okay. A day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. And again, you thank God for those unanswered prayers, because God, Abba Father, knows best. He knows best. So that doesn't mean you give up. No, all quits in your head. What we do is we continue to pray in faith. And God will reveal it to you eventually in God's time, not ours. I don't know why people can't receive from our Heavenly Father. I think, and this is just me, and I could be like in the darkest part of the woods here, but I think that they think sometimes that they're not worthy or something. That is a lie right out of the pits of hell. You are worthy. Because, see, when our Heavenly Father looks at us, does He see Tabitha? Does He see Gary? Does He see Flo? No. Who does He see? Jesus Christ. Because you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. That's who He sees. And there isn't a thing He wouldn't do for His Son, His precious Son, who willingly gave Himself on the cross. Wasn't forced to. It was something that He did in love. Talk about love. Wow. That's a lie right out of the pits of hell. And He looks at us and sees His Son. Because, church, we must, like anything else, receive by faith. Now, I believe that faith and love are key to everything we do as a Christian or a church. Amen? So don't let the enemy lie to you. Our Father wants to bless and give us things just as we do with our own family. Can I have an amen on that one? Now, A is accept. But I do want to go something here. We were talking about faith. Why is it, again, this is just my thinking, but why is it that it is so easy? Well, sometimes we battle in our mind that, you know, all you have to do, confess the Lord with your heart, and you'll be saved. And we bring people come up and want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Because without Him, we'd all be burning in hell. It's just that simple. But He has taken the keys of hell. And we don't have to face that at all. We're in glory, church. We are going to walk the streets of gold when God calls us home because of His Son. But why is that? And that, we accept Jesus Christ. We're doing good. We accept Jesus Christ by faith, and now you're born again and on your way to heaven, and we're happy, okay? And then the devil will play with you. You don't believe that. Well, yeah, we do. But see, we take that by faith. God's given us a free will. We can choose to accept Him or deny Him. But even Jesus said that if I were you, I would choose life. We have a choice to choose life or death. But see, He knows our makeup and says, but if I were you, I would choose life, because Jesus Christ is life. So we walk out and we're born again. But why is it that same prayer and faith, Vic, that we can't accept our healing? I'm going to tell you what I believe. Because we live in this earth suit. See, nothing's other than your mind, and you've got to put that aside because the devil will lie to you. But listen, when you're sick, and we come up for healing, that body's talking back to you. You feel the pain. But we're not moved by what we feel, are we? You're blowing your nose. We're not moved by what we see. We can't be moved by that. But it sure does have a part in it. You see, and then we start to waver. That's just me. At least I've done it, so... Accept is letter A. We need to learn to accept from our Heavenly Father. Amen? He wants us to accept things from Him. Why? He's a giving Father. He's a loving Father. You got a birthday party, Christmas, whatever the case may be. and you got gifts. Are you going to accept them? Absolutely. Don't run from them. Accept the gifts that He gives you. A definition of accept, and this is the one that I like, church, is it is consent to receive a thing offered, in parentheses. That's a definition of accept. See, church, we need to consent to receive. That's what accepting is. Okay, I'm consenting. You want to give me that gift? Okay, I'm going to take it. So you're consenting to receive that gift. We need to learn that. And yes, church, I do understand that it is better to give than receive. But He loves us so much that He wants to give us everything that we need. I didn't say want, but everything that we need. Amen? Church, how are we ever going to receive from God if we don't consent? Much like when we accepted Jesus Christ, we consented to accept Him. And God will never force His will on us, now will He? You're going to receive My Son, or I'm just not going to leave you alone till you do. No, no. We have a free will. Again, we have a choice to accept or deny Christ. Now, we have people that come by and they plant the seed. Somebody's going to come and water it. And maybe somebody will come and plant another seed. And then somebody will come and water it until that plant comes to fruition and you accept Jesus Christ. You chose to do so. Now, understand something. He already chose us over 2,000 years ago when He died on that cross. That was the whole reason He died, so we could live in heaven and not burn in hell. He already chose us, but we have to consent to receive His love. Because if we don't, we're selfish. We're selfish. And we're thinking about, as Brother Dean always say, it's not about you. It's about Him. Amen? And I hope that came across the way I wanted it to. Why? The letter Y. We're winding down, church. Is for yearning. A feeling for intense longing for something. That is what yearning is. It's all rooted in prayer. A feeling for intense longing for something. There should be such a yearning in our spirit to be with, talk to, and just be thankful for. Let me say that again. There should be such a yearning in our spirits to be with, talk to, and just be thankful for all that our Father has done and will continue to do in our lives. Amen? That there's a yearning for that, church. I don't think that, you know, remember when you were kids, and let's say that Mom and Dad had you on allowance, you actually went out and got a job because there was a guys might have wanted a baseball glove, or the girls might have wanted a doll. I don't know. But if they went out, they actually went out and did chores around the house and went out and got a job because they yearned for that glove or doll. So there's something they had to do. And that was what was foremost in their mind. And that's the same way when we pray and receive God and pray continually, pray by faith. He is now foremost in our mind. It's not about us. It's about Him. So that yearning helps keep us keeping Him foremost in our mind, despite what the world wants to throw at us, despite the bills that flow in, despite the 3 taxes that I just paid and another one coming in June or July, the school tax. Despite all of that, there's a yearning that I need to stay with and hold on to and keep Jesus Christ foremost in my mind. Amen? So that yearning, church, that when we have that, that will bring peace to us as well. Why? Because when we're yearning to be that type of Christian, when we're yearning to have Him involved in every little thing. Church, I don't care what it is. Charles, you had a business. You still do have a business. And even in the littlest decisions, you pray. I could handle this, but that's okay. Pray anyway and present it to Him, because what you think you'll be able to do, Mario, in your business as well, and everybody that has a business in here or just in life. Oh, that's so, God doesn't want to be bothered with that. It is so trivial. That's wrong. He wants to be bothered. He wants to be involved in every little decision that we make. So before we do anything, present it to Him. Oh, He'll let you know. Present it to Him. So church, I can't think. I'm going to close with this. Thank you for your attention, and I pray that this message did bless you. I really do, because it blessed me preparing it. I can't think of a better person to close with than one of the pillars in our faith is Billy Graham. And this is from Billy Graham's library, and it's in his own words, longing for God, which will coincide with yearning. What does it mean to long for someone? It means that a person is unsatisfied or unfulfilled because there is someone he or she very much wants to be near. To hear that certain voice, to experience that special presence. Usually, particularly when the object is someone very much loved by the person who is longing for another, there is hardly a waking moment when that person is not on the mind of the one who is longing for. Have you ever been underwater for a period of time that is longer than you had expected? You know, as the time ticks away, how desperate are you to reach the surface and breathe the air? The greater the time you're under the water, the more you long for a breath of air, until that desire overwhelms you and you rush to get to the surface as rapidly as possible. You have no other thoughts but quenching your need for that air. That is what it means to long for God. In another context, it is what it means to hunger and thirst after righteousness with the same desires that lead us to quench our physical need for food and water. How many of us are content to give God only a brief moment of our time, a hasty prayer before a meal, a few coins in the offering plate on Sunday, and forget about Him the rest of the time? God wants us to long for Him because it is in that longing that we are fulfilled and overwhelmed by God and the reflection of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in our lives. We are never more fulfilled than we are longing for God. I'm sorry, that when our longing for God is met by His presence in our lives. Amen. Church, I have delivered what I've received, and I thank you for your attention. And my prayer is that that message uplifted each and every one of us. I really do. I know it uplifted me with the old school worship. I just love that stuff. And then I know for myself that I still got to work on longing and preparing and praying. I still have to work on that because life does get in the way. But don't let it defeat any of us. Amen? So I'm going.